This is Wednesday, June the 17th, 1998. This is an interview with Mr. Austin Armstrong of Roachville Road in Sussex, and the interviewer is Irma Bryan. We were talking about coyotes and wildlife around Armstrong's Corner. What about like things like partridge and rabbit? And
oh, yeah, lots of them.
Yeah?
Lots of them.
Yeah. What about the Westfield fire now? Do you remember when that happened?
The what?
Was it the Wellsford fire?
Westfield
fire.
1921.
Okay. So you weren't again all that old.
No, but I
mean, you were 15.
I remember my father and mother going down on a Sunday to see the damage that was done after the fire.
What caused the fire?
A spark from the train.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking about how that was such a dry...
Dry summer, yes. I was talking to a man here in Millstream here one day not long ago. He's 90, he'll be 95 in November. Herb Gaunce, did you ever hear tell of him?
Mm.
And he said they had a farm out here in the Millstream.
Mm-hmm.
And that summer, he said it was dry here. They just got one load of hay on the whole farm. They had to sell the cattle and everything.
So out in Armstrong Corner, then how close did the fire come? Can you remember smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember seeing smoke from that fire?
I don't just remember that, but mm-hmm. there must have been smoke, yeah, mm-hmm. a certain amount. From
like I've talked to people from Olinville who said that they're just thick black smoke.
Yeah. I wasn't...
Did you go with your parents that day to look at the damage?
No. Just another couple of lacks that had a Model T Ford car, and they went down to see it.
Goodness. If you had a car out there, where would you have gotten your gas?
Well, they have gas at the stores and things around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see. So would you have had gas at the store in Armstrong's Corner? Or would you have had to go on, say, to Hampstead?
No, you could get it there in certain places.
Yeah.
Hmm. Primrose.
Primrose? Oh, that was another place.
No, Primrose was the name of the gas.
Oh, was that the name of the gas?
Yeah.
The Primrose Gas Company.
Yeah. 5 gallons for a dollar.
Oh, goodness. Isn't that something? Did they have, like, pumps to put it in, or did you get it in a can?
Yeah, pumps in a can to put it into.
Yeah. Goodness, Primrose Gas.
5 gallon for a dollar.
Was there anyone around Armstrong's Corner who, we've talked about blacksmiths when the horse and oxen were, used. What about when cars came in? Was there anyone around that area that worked on your car or changed your tires or...
They had the garages in different places.
Yeah. Can you remember the names of any garages in Armstrong's Corner?
Well, McCracken had,
mm-hmm.
was one of the ones,
mm-hmm.
at Armstrong's Corner. There wasn't too many, but there was always a place.
Mm-hmm. Now,
if you'd done a lot of fixing yourself, you had some hay wire. And
could hold quite a bit, couldn't it? Now, people who have recommended that I speak with you have said, don't forget to ask about the water skill. And tell me a bit about what they're talking about. It's obviously your ability to locate water veins, is that it?
Yeah.
Now, how did this ever start?
Well... It's been going a long time. It's way back in Bible times.
Mm-hmm.
When Moses struck the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was a neighbor home, next door neighbor, Martin, Tom Martin. He done it. And when I was young, I used to be up there a lot anyway. Him and his sister, they never were married or anything. They lived there, and... I used to be up there a lot, and I freaking around with a stick, and I found out that it would move for me, so that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. So now, did he help you along to tell you?
Well, I went along and with him. Sometimes I didn't just agree with him, but we didn't fight over it or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I had different ideas sometimes.
Yeah.
And I found over 1,000 wells now in my day.
Now,
I've had good luck, so I can't say anything.
Now, out there, people would have hand dug their wells, wouldn't have they? Yeah. Were you locating some wells?
Oh, yes, over there. They were all springs, and I found quite a few springs, but you had dug down anywhere from 5 to 35 or 40 feet by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you were doing that, you didn't want to make a mistake, did you?
No, I found one right out in the house here. You might have noticed there where the birds are.
And
only went down there 19 feet, and there's never been no scarcity of water in 40 years.
Now, isn't that something?
Oh, I've been all over the country. I've been to Nova Scotia, and I've been everywhere.
Do you get people who would just call you up and ask you to come?
Yeah, sometimes a well drummer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Yeah. All that technology. Did you ever have people, I was thinking even out in Armstrong's Corner, who thought that maybe that wasn't such a skill?
Well, yes, there were a lot of people who didn't believe, but a lot of people yet don't believe in it.
A lot of people who say that, that's not,
but
that's
I'm
prophesizing
not, I'm
and
not
stuff.
I'm not going to dig a hole without finding it first.
No, that's what I said. If you're going to dig down 50 feet by hand, sure is nice to know that.
You want to know there's something there.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I went down here to a school one time. They had one drill, a hole drilled 610 and 505. No water, and at Springfield, and I went down. I couldn't get water where they were drilling, but I told them, I said, there's water at each end of the school. I don't know how much, but I know there's water there. So they brought the drill back, and I got the papers here in the house yet from the government or school board. They went down 69 feet, and they put a pump on it and pumped it all night. Oh. Night long till the next day at dinner time, and they couldn't lower it. 69 feet.
Lots of water.
Lots of water.
Well, for goodness sakes, isn't that something? Now.
And then there's something else I want to tell you about. I experienced like a water vein.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sleeping in a house and there's a water vein running under your bed, it can cause arthritis,
mm-hmm.
certain kind of cancer, and different ailments. And if you move off that vein of water, if you have it, it'll go away.
Now, how do you locate veins of water through a house?
Just take the stick and I'll show you if I can find a stick out here. Winston made the coil of wire, and he come down here one day, and he said, "Dad, I want you to try something." So he had the coil of wire made up, and out here at the well, he put it down on the vein, and that stick wouldn't move at all. Take it away, you couldn't hold it.
Now, as I was asking you, is there a special kind of wood that you use, or?
No. I read books about it, and it said it didn't matter as long as it worked for you.
Now, when you were out in Armstrong's Corner, what kind of?
Well, it was generally witch hazel or apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you would get a branch in the
find
stick?
Find the springs or things over there for, I never seen a drilled well while I was at Armstrong's Corner.
Because of all the springs?
All the springs, 47 years there.
Mm-mm-mm. And would they run all year? Yeah,
we had a spring home there way above the Gatestown Road on the 84 rod, and I never seen it ever go dry.
Oh my goodness.
5 feet deep.
My soul, isn't that? And so you dig it out and well it up? And
rock it up.
Rock.
Well,
now that must have been awfully cold to do if you had water running into it.
Yeah, it was at times to keep it bailed out and work at it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you remember when you piped the water into the house? Did you ever have water in the house in Armstrong's
Corner?
Yes,
we had a gravity flow of water right from the Gagetown Road right down over the hill.
Oh, and so you must have been some of the first people then to have.
Yeah, and then 1932, we had the old-fashioned wooden pipes, you know, that you board behind. You've heard tell of them, mm-hmm. haven't you? Yeah, and ours are commencing to go in 32, and I got a couple of fellas, and we took teams and went out to Clonus to get some wood, and we cut 45 logs, but there were two lengths of pipes, you see, at 8'3",
mm-hmm.
that's as far as the auger would bore.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it, and I hired a man, and I helped to bore them pipes in 32, and it took us 3 weeks
to bore them.
You had to start at one end and come out center on the other end, mm-hmm. at 8'3".
3 weeks of work.
Yeah, 3 weeks of work.
My heavens, but it was worth it to have water in the house, eh? Goodness gracious, isn't that something? That did that. Was it?
St. Croix was the first soap company to come out.
Surprise soap, yes. Yeah. Did they have coupons?
Yeah, surprise soap.
What did you use before that for soap? Did you make your own long soap?
I don't remember any different soap than that at my time. And there was only the one, now there's 100.
Yes, that's right.
There's a piece in there.
It says there was a coupon on each cake. Yeah. Now, and then you sent them in for a prize.
Yeah, a little jackknife or something, or bobby pins or something.
Yeah. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember about school? What's your first memory of school? Of going to school, even?
I never liked school to
you
start
didn't.
With, no.
And your wife, you're a teacher.
I know. I thought I wouldn't live long enough to get out of it.
What was it about school that you didn't like? Is there anything in particular?
I'll show you a piece here somewhere. Do you see a piece there where I started to school?
Yeah. You say something about you didn't have any grades at that time.
No, well,
just
read on there a little further.
Oh, you talk about staying after school because you didn't know your history.
Yeah, well, you read that, and then you'll know the whole story.
Well, goodness, you'll have to tell me a bit about it, though. The Battle of Hastings.
Yeah.
So that was that homework?
I was supposed to stay in after school and learn it.
Yes.
I decided I wasn't going to. It's all down there.
Oh, boy. And you didn't do it. Let's talk about Ghost Hollow. That's one question I do ask, is if there were any places or houses in the area that was people always said, oh, well, that's haunted. Or
They always claimed it was, but I don't know. If it
Ghost
was.
Hollow?
Ghost Hollow.
What did they say was down there?
And I don't know if there was anything special or not, but that's where the teacher caught me anyway, in Ghost Hollow.
Oh. Was there any other houses there? You know how some older kids will scare little kids by saying, oh, you don't want to go there, that'll get you.
No,
was there anything in Armstrong's Corner that people...
No, there wasn't any houses haunted that I know.
Yeah.
It was just a hollow in the woods there that you went through between two hills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you say that houses were built without any insulation. What would they do in the wintertime to keep the floors warm? Anything?
No, just the fires. Wood fires. It was all wood at that time.
Huh. Isn't that something? What about 1914 when the war started? What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember quite a few boys from Armstrong's Corner joining up and having a picnic for them before they went overseas in 15. And there was two of them killed. Dougie Woods' uncle was killed in
mm-hmm.
the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Woods.
Hmm.
I don't know if that'll ever make a book or not, but we'll
You're talking here about William Woods.
Yeah.
He died?
That was Doug Woods' great-grandfather.
Uh-huh.
1916.
And he was a neighbor of yours?
Yeah, right. Next door neighbor.
What's the story there now?
Hmm?
It says here there was a mill sawing lumber on the second farm.
Yeah. And when they finished the, you know, sawing the cut, or they always blew the whistle for 15 or 20 minutes, and the whistle started to blow. I remember hearing it, they looked out and they seen a team coming down the road with the casket, and somebody cut the wire, and I can remember that as well as yesterday.
To stop the whistle from blowing?
Yeah.
Why would they have a whistle blowing anyway? Why was
that? Well, they just notify the people that they were done sawing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just a custom that they done that.
Uh-huh. Isn't that something? Now, you talk about 1917 where heavy winds were blowing and blew roofs off buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
What part of what time of the year in 1917 was that?
That was in the fall of the year. I just forget the month, but it was in the fall.
Now it says here it's 1917 and Fred Cameron was cutting lumber on your uncle's farm, and the men were making $80 to $85 a month.
Yeah, that's right.
Now that's an awful lot of money.
Yeah, it is. And he went down that winter bad, but he come out of it again. Now the woman that's doing this book down in Hampton, she was looking it over the other day, and she says, "I know Fred Cameron."
Isn't that something? What about when the flu bug struck in 1918? What happened there? Tell me a bit about that.
1918. After the war.
And then the flu.
Yeah, flu. My uncle there hauling caskets to neighbors there all the time. Oh, a lot of people died that year, 1918.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
What uncle was that?
Albert Corbett. That was a twin brother of my mother's.
Oh, twins.
Yeah.
Goodness. You talk about, tell me a bit about your neighbor, James Russell.
Well, that's his wife and son died. He was only 20-something the same day with the flu.
Hmm.
Two of them in the one house.
Mm-hmm.
And then Albert, 2 weeks from that, somebody or a week was going after his casket.
Isn't that something? Where did the caskets come from?
Slips out at River Road.
Did they have somebody who would help get the funeral arrangements together? Like when someone passed away, for instance, you got your casket from Slips, but then who would help get the body ready and put in?
Well, generally just the neighbors that would, you know. I remember one time in 1935, a neighbor died, and his sister sent down for me to go up to help to lay him out, and we got him ready for the funeral, but then Bernan's come from St. John afterwards. And,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lumber coming out from that area.
Oh, yeah.
Lot of lumber. Where was it going to? Who was buying up all the wood, all the lumber and the pulp?
At that time?
Yes.
Well, I don't really know if there was any special buyer or not at that time.
Mm-hmm. How did they get down to St. John?
Lumber?
Yes.
Well, they floated the logs down to Narrapeace, and then they towed them from that to St. John by tugboat.
Can you ever remember any log jams?
Oh, yes. I was on one time.
Really?
Yeah. Boss come back and appointed another fellow and I to go down and break the jam. It was about 70 rod long, piled up.
Oh, where would you start?
But he told us to take 7 or 8 good men with us, and mm-hmm. we did, and we went down and got out in front of it there on the floating logs and mm-hmm. kept picking and picking, and there's always a key log that holds the jam. There's only one log, is the one log that jams everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you get that key log in the front of the jam, everything will just settle right down, go.
Oh my goodness.
And then it's time for you to be heading for high ground.
I bet when it goes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just like a thunderstorm. The noise of the logs upending and everything.
You talk about 1921 being quite a dry summer. Yeah. What can you remember about that on Armstrong's Corner?
Well, that was the year that I was telling you about the...
The fire?
Fire, mm-hmm. and the dry summer haying, and the change in the roads, and from the left to the right,
mm-hmm.
all happened in 21.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you do any building that year?
We built a granary that year.
Oh, yeah.
My father hewed the timbers for it.
Now, tell me a bit about what you'd use the granary for.
That's for just for the grain.
Just to store
oats
it?
To store it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, was it easy to hew sills with an axe?
Yeah, but it's a broad axe. It was a different axe.
Okay.
Yeah. I still got the broad axe here yet. It's 100 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's a big broad axe about that width.
Wow. That's big.
There was a man in Summer Hill there. I wrote that in the book, too. By the name of Sutton, George Sutton, he used to frame barns and hew them and everything and put them, have them all together. And he'd have that barn up in the morning when nobody was looking himself. He'd put them big timbers and everything up, and how he done it, nobody ever found out. They watched night after night, and they were watching. He'd never put it up. And when they weren't watching, the barn would be up the next morning, and he'd just put pegs around, and he'd say that the fairies helped him.
And, isn't that something?
And I was over here, and I was out here to a sale at the co-op here one time years ago, and I was sitting alongside of a man, and I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know whether you'll believe me or not. So I told him that story about George Sutton putting the barns up at night, and I got through. Yes, he says, I believe you. He said there was a man here in Upham done the very same thing, and we watched night after night, and nobody ever seen him doing it. And the next morning, the barn would be up, the frame of the barn.
My goodness gracious.
So they're both mysteries as far as that is. Nobody ever found out.
Isn't that something? Tell me a bit about going to St. John and putting that money in the bank after working in the woods.
Yeah, Christmas time.
Was it Christmas time?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you came out of the woods, was it?
Yeah.
No, that's different from nowadays. Christmas time, we're usually taking money out of our bank accounts.
Yeah, that's right.
Was this your first bank account ever?
Yeah, that's the first bank account.
Yeah.
It was 1923.
Yeah. Do you recall how much
you... It wasn't $1,000 or anything, you know, but it was...
Can you recall
$25 or $30 mm-hmm. at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a thing.
So, did you go home for Christmas after you...
Yeah. Home for Christmas and stayed home for Christmas and went back to work the next day.
No 2 or 3 weeks off,
no holidays.
My goodness. Now, what did you do with things like the sawdust? You know, when you're working in the woods or you're working in a mill and there's a lot of sawdust, was there anything the sawdust was used for a lot?
No. It was just taken out and piled and left there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You talk a lot about cutting wood, but yet I suppose you wouldn't have clear cut it or anything like that.
Oh, no.
So there was lots there, eh?
Oh, I helped to cut wood when I was a young fella, you know, going to school on Saturdays. You always had a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
A hack or something, you know, I won't say you cut it very good at that time, but always helped. And I helped to cut wood, and before I left over there, 47 years or less, I cut pulp off the same ground.
My goodness.
Just fast-growing country. A wood.
Now, back in the mid-20s, in Armstrong's Corner, as in most places, there really wasn't a lot of medicine to help. You know, people were getting consumption and measles and mumps. And can you remember a time when you were ever ill?
Yes, I can remember quite a few times when I was ill. Mumps and...
Uh-huh.
Measles.
Uh-huh. Was there a time when they ever had to call? Did you have a doctor in the area?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the doctor was 9 miles from where we lived.
Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Frederick McGran.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about scarlet fever?
Scarlet fever, I took that one winter. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was working in the woods for myself that winter. I had a couple of men hired, And I come home and I didn't feel good, and I went to bed, and next morning I got up and I felt some better. I took a lunch and I started back again, and at 2 o'clock I had to quit again, and I got home, my temperature was 102. Nurse come down, I called the doctor, scarlet fever, and I went to bed the 8th day of December, and I never got out till the 25th day of January.
And there was
doctor was there every day for 10 days, drove 9 miles with a horse and sleigh.
What, there probably wasn't much they could do, was there?
No, but don't they keep the throat open and swab it out every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think he thought I was going to come out of it. I was only 20 years old, but even at that, the fever was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Did anybody else get it?
No, they didn't. They inoculated all the rest of hired men and mother and...
Mm-hmm. So they did have some sort of a vaccination for this.
Oh, yeah. But I didn't know what was the trouble. I thought I was just lazy or something.
Yeah. Now, you talk here about when you and your wife were married, you had Reverend Leonard Wasson.
Wasson.
Oh, Wason, W-A-S-O-N.
Yeah, Wason, they called him.
Mm-hmm. Did you...
That would be Herb Gantz was married to his daughter.
Oh. Now,
Marjorie Wason.
Did you have a reception or something after the wedding?
Oh, just a family at the house.
Right.
Started for Wellsford and Frederick and Crane.
Yes. What about, you're talking about here about 1929, you'd been married and your daughter Marion had been born.
Yeah.
And you weren't feeling very well.
No, and I went to the doctor and he advised me to quit the farm for a year that summer.
You weren't very old though, were you?
No, I wasn't, but I liked to work at that time. I'd work daylight to dark.
Oh, not with that at all. So the doctor said you should go away. So where did you go to?
I went to St. John.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
I knew the head man, St. John, my engineer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. City engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got me a job at the airport. They were starting to build a Milledgeville airport that year.
Right. Now, you're talking about the 30s, the dirty 30s.
Yeah, well, that was a hard time.
Were you back in Armstrong's Corner?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And back at work again?
Yeah, I didn't stay in St. John too long. I didn't like city life.
Mm-hmm. It would be a big change. You talk about the dealer's dairy. Well, it's shipping.
That's where we ship cream to.
Can you remember? Can you remember like how much you'd get for your cream?
No, but I know it wasn't very much. It was around, I think, around 12 or 14 cents.
Like a quart, or?
No, but by the. Oh, what it went by, I know, but I can't think now.
You say here that you, okay, the biggest check for the year was $29.90 for 2 weeks.
Yeah, for 2 weeks, yeah.
And then a price list of groceries here. Where was this from? Where was the groceries from?
That was from Bangor.
From Bangor?
Yeah.
Bangor, Maine?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the one with the different prices, the... That was 1930 that them list was taken.
So you got
to come from Gallagher store in Bangor, Maine.
So it would be American money then.
Yeah.
So you had a pound of Maxwell coffee for 11 cents.
Yeah.
A pound of butter for 19 cents. 10 pounds of sugar for 45 cents. Mason jars, 71 cents. Kellogg's cornflakes, 3 packages for 20 cents. My goodness.
You don't get them now for
20 cents. I guess you don't. Now, in 1932, you talk about changing the wooden pipes in the house.
Yeah, that's it. That's
now, it. Your father had worked so hard to... Was it your father or you? No, it was you. It worked so hard to get the wooden pipes going.
Yeah, I had, and then I dug that trench 84 rod by hand, too.
Mm-hmm. But,
two different times. Mm-hmm. I put in galvanized and 45 again.
So what did you do with the water pipes? What did you change them to?
Galvanized pipe.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get the pipes from?
The galvanized?
Yeah.
I bought them in St. John. I just forget, McAvity's or somewhere.
Uh-huh. Well, isn't that something? Can you remember a winter, you were talking about some winters that were particularly harsh. Did they seem even worse in the dirty 30s when things were rough anyway?
Well, there were hard winters in the 30s. 34 and 35, it was snow, and
yeah.
Cold weather. It was, everything was Fahrenheit that time, and it was 30 to 40 below every morning for a week.
You talk here about how, it was about 1934. It was a bad winter, like you said.
Yeah.
And you and your wife are going down to a funeral.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what happens there. You saw a team off the road?
Yeah. It belonged to a neighbor, Raymond Woods.
Raymond Woods?
Yeah. And the mayor was... heavy and full, and she wouldn't get up. She got down off the road, and so we had to shovel down and go down and get a sled at the house and load her on it and haul it to the barn by hand.
Oh, my heavens, and this was a horse.
Yeah.
Huh, isn't that something? But the horse was
so
okay?
I don't know anything about hardships today. To what?
I don't think so.
No, to a certain extent, anyway.
Yeah. Now you talked about 35 being a very bad winter as well.
Yeah, that winter the Fredericton train, I remember a fellow died next door neighbor there. I went up and helped lay him out, and the Fredericton train was 4 or 5 hours late, plowing snow ahead of it from Boston down.
My goodness. Did they have undertakers that showed up at all?
Yeah, I brought two of them up from Wellsford. I had to harness the team after that and drive 9 miles in the snow. And two undertakers come up and stayed all night.
Hmm. Now, we've already talked about the 1936 freshet.
Yeah.
And
that's how? Just a sketch. That's my granddaughter done that, but mm-hmm. The other one is I had to make some mistakes. There were some mistakes we had to change. And
mm-hmm. What about the war? Now, you're getting into the 40s.
The war, yes. We put a piece in later. There was about a dozen boys joined up in the...
Uh-huh.
in the 39 and the 40s. There was only one killed that I know of.
Yeah. You talked here about how you were... You went to the St. John General Hospital in 45.
Yeah.
Would you still be living at Armstrong's Corner then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you go to the St. John General very often? Like, I guess that would have been the closest hospital.
Yeah, that was the closest at that time, yeah.
Yeah.
I was operated on for hernia and appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
Some different land times than this.
Well, can you remember how much they charged you?
A room cost me $13.30 a week.
Oh, my goodness.
And the doctor to give the antiseptic was $15.
Uh-huh.
And the other doctor, Malcolm, that operated on me, he come in, I had to lay on the flat of my back for 3 weeks. I couldn't get up. And Dr. Malcolm come in and I asked him, I said, "Doctor, I want to pay you." And do you know what he told me?
What?
He said, "If you had to borrow the money to pay me, I don't want it." I said, "No, I saved the money to pay you, and I want to pay you. I know it was, I can't remember what it was, but I know it wasn't too much. I said, I saved it, and I want to pay you." I never forgot that.
Hmm. In 1946, you were appointed to a job.
Yeah.
What was that job called?
That was a valuation of properties, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Who'd you work with?
I worked with Alvin Clark from Canaan and John Burke from Chipman, A.L. Gunter from Jemseg, Ed Beckett from Jerusalem, and myself, five of us.
So there was five of you. Tell me, what were you to do?
Well, you had to go out and value the properties to make the assessments and stuff, and yeah.
Now, I don't think everyone would have agreed with you, did
no,
they?
No, they didn't. One fellow especially didn't.
No?
No, but then in 1932, I was appointed, what did they call them? I know as well as I know my name. Assessor of Queens County.
Yes.
In 1932, and that fall I was appointed Secretary of the Agriculture Society.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, what did that have you do?
Well, I had to look after all the business of the society and order the seeds and grain that the neighbors wanted and stuff from Ontario. And
so what would you...
And not much money in it at that time.
Would you have visited the neighbors to find out what they needed, or did
no,
they just...
No, they give me the orders to what I want and what they wanted, and then I'd ordered.
What kind of seed would you buy?
All like grain, you know, oats and mm-hmm. stuff like that the farmers needed, and mm-hmm. Grass seeds and stuff like that.
For hay?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Timothy and clover. And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember the year that the hydro came down on the Gagetown Road?
1948.
Did you get hydro in your house?
Yeah, that fall.
Did you ever have anything to do with it? Did you help them at all putting it in?
Yeah, I worked digging holes for 2 days, and then I was on the boss put me on the truck delivering poles. And
mm-hmm. So you were busy.
Yeah.
Now, this was after the Depression, was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Things
yeah.
were starting to get a little better?
Yeah, that, things were a little brighter then, yeah.
Can you remember what it was like to have electricity in the house, to have it
yeah,
come in for the
quite,
first time?
Quite a change.
Well, did you have anything, though, electrical to use it with?
Not too much at that time, no.
You must have had to
buy afterwards.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was the, can you remember?
Yeah, which? Like televisions and stuff like that, yeah.
What's your first memory of buying something that you had to plug in? What was it?
Well, I think the television was about the most thing. Yeah.
Oh?
Yeah.
That must have been a big thing, going from not really a lot of entertainment.
No, you didn't have much at one time. I know. Well, we know that.
Now, when did your mother pass away?
She passed away the 22nd day of November, 1947.
And in Armstrong's Corner?
Yeah.
Is she buried there as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you living on the land when the expropriation came through?
Yeah.
Now, how did you ever decide where to go from there?
Well, I'll tell you, I was... I went to a Sussex school here in Sussex. I was appointed from that side of the river to come over here and go to school, the mm-hmm. high school, for a week. And you got going. I didn't know only two in Sussex at that time. Mm-hmm. And I stayed at the hotel here for the week. And we went to school, and I got going around, and I knew a lot of the places we'd be sent out to evaluate, you see, and one thing or another. So I got to know quite a few, and that's how I come over here, I guess.
Did...
that was in 51, and then we were over here in 53.
That's really not a lot of time. That's a quick move. That's a really quick move.
Yeah.
Did you have anything... did you work at all with the government assessors when the military base was coming in?
No.
But you had the good... You did have one up on everyone else. You had an idea of how the assessment would be done.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to school there and mm-hmm. everything we learned. Yeah, they gave us a good time too. They took us to Elma, a big banquet one night, and Legion out here another night. And
that was when you came to the assessment school.
Yeah, assessment school.
Uh-huh. Isn't that something? When you think back about Armstrong's Corner. And you're looking down, you know, the Gagetown Road. What are you seeing? If I was in Armstrong's Corner, back in your time. Now I look down the road and I don't see anything. But what would I have seen in your time?
In Armstrong's Corner?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you'd see activity at every house and place along the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now there's nothing.
No, there's nothing.
No building, no nothing.